Good afternoon and welcome to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors Personnel Administration and Legislation Committee for Monday, July the 7th, 2025. May I have a roll call, please?
Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Present.
Supervisor Tam.
Present. Thank you. And we will start with a very intense week summary from our federal legislative liaisons. And I have to comment that the report had very light and was, I should say, well-written prose, right? When you start talking about the most patriot needs to reach for that extra cup of coffee because of the intensity of the meetings. So let's start with that report.
Sure, you've got Emily Bacchae da Silva here with CJ Lake, and John Asini is, I think, in transit, so he's not on camera. I mean, as you all know, the House and Senate passed H.R. 1 after kind of a lot of back and forth last week. The House kept the vote open. I think they set a record for how long they kept the vote open in order to twist enough arms. And the House passed the bill on July 3rd and sent it over to the president so he could sign on July 4th, that self-imposed deadline. We are continuing to kind of go through the bill. We sent you guys kind of a high-level summary last week. There were very few changes from what the what we thought the Senate bill would look like till when the Senate passed it. And one of those things, and I know I'd emailed you supervisors, we had talked, I just think last Monday on the PAL call about the Rural Stabilization Fund that a number of senators were demanding. The initial Senate bill had it at $25 billion. In some of the negotiations shortly before the vote, they doubled it to $50 billion. Again, that doesn't go very far in the scheme of things, but that is in there. We've been talking a lot about SNAP and Medicaid and kind of the various provisions and the timelines for implementation. Supervisor Fortunato Bass, I know you're very interested in the timelines for the various provisions. We were emailing with staff earlier today on those. A number of these provisions and Medicaid in particular, some of these don't take effect until after the midterm. So, after next November, but some do come a little bit sooner. Again, it's now that they've gotten through this reconciliation bill. It's now on to implementation, and a lot of that will involve rulemaking. One of the things that we were talking about earlier today was the work requirements for SNAP, and that will require notice of proposed rule, and you would have to go through a certain process, so you don't know exactly when that implementation will take effect. And of course, states will need to get their systems in place as well. There are other provisions that have a set date. So that was kind of one of the things we were working through today. Now that they have gotten through reconciliation, they're now turning towards appropriations. You may remember a few weeks back, the House passed a rescissions package of current year funding, so FY25. When you pass a rescissions package, there's kind of very specific steps that you need to take. And there's in statute, it's not a self-imposed deadline, but in statute that if the Senate is to take it up and Congress is to pass it, it needs to be done by July 18th. And so right now the Senate is, they will return to session this week, tomorrow. The House is out this week since they had to come back last week when they should have been in recess. As of now, we don't know if the Senate has the votes needed, the 50 plus one to pass the rescissions package. They said they'll take it up next week and then plan to just kind of jam the House into taking up whatever the Senate passes, similar to what they did with reconciliation. And on the appropriations front as well, Senator Collins, the chair of appropriations on the Senate side, had said that they wouldn't begin to discuss appropriations until they passed a reconciliation bill. Well, now that that has happened, the first three appropriations markups for FY26 have been scheduled for this week. Those are Ag, Commerce, Justice, Science, and then Ledge Branch. So we'll start to see kind of what those bills look like and what the funding levels look like. Again, the House has already started. And so we'll see how far they get. I know we've talked to you guys about our concerns related to appropriations and following reconciliation. I think it's going to be really difficult to pass appropriations bills for FY26, particularly if they do, in fact, pass a rescissions package. It's just going to be the funding levels. I think it's going to be tough. John, I don't know if you want to hop in. We can answer kind of specific questions about provisions that you may have, but I'll pause and let John say anything if he'd like.
No, I think that pretty much covers it. More curious about answering any specific questions, since I think we're pretty covered on the procedure side of things. And I think the rest of the month is going to look kind of uncertain. And then we'll hop into recess in August and we'll be barreling down the way to a continuing resolution at the end of September, which, you know, I think we've covered kind of the interesting politics around that on the appropriate side of things. But, you know, the rest of the calendar is pretty much up in the air. They may try to do a skinny farm bill, but the difficulty with that is, of course, the snap cuts that took place are the reconciliation bill. So I doubt that Democrats are going to want to go along with a farm bill this year. So the remainder of the year will be pretty much dominated by continuing resolutions / appropriations. And then depending on sort of the results of this rescission package that's going to be voted on next week, we may be seeing additional rescissions package that are much larger than the $9.4 billion that Congress is going to be taking up soon.
My apologies, I didn't hear the last portion. John?
Just that there may be some additional rescissions package coming down the pipeline in the event that Congress is able to pass the $9.4 billion rescissions package. So we have an understanding that RustVote and OMB may be cooking up some additional rescissions package that may take place towards the end of the fiscal year in order to do basically an end run around the typical appropriations process. But that's still kind of in the works.
Okay.
And I'll just add, for the rescissions package that they're focused on right now, as John said, it's $9.8 billion. It focuses on foreign aid, USAID, multilateral assistance, and public broadcasting, you know, NPR, and in particular, PEPFAR, the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And so the idea is, and I think what I know we had trouble hearing John, but I think OMB wants to see if Congress is able to pass this kind of smaller rescissions package and they get it through, then the administration or OMB would then send a larger package targeting kind of other maybe domestic programs. And as he's saying, if Congress is unable to pass these FY26 appropriations bills and we end up with some sort of CR, this is kind of a way to cut spending through the rescissions package rather than through the regular appropriations process.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Supervisor Fortunato Bass, questions, comments?
Thank you, Supervisor Tam. My staff and I shared our main question in advance, which is wanting to learn more about the implementation dates and timelines. So thank you to the staff for going ahead and pulling that together at both the federal and the state level. You know, just stepping back, I'm sure this is no surprise, and it's probably very shared. This budget is devastating. I mean, I think it's brutal and ugly, as many other people have shared, to know that millions of people will lose healthcare coverage, food assistance, and that translates to tens of thousands of families and children here in Alameda County. It's going to be up to us to try to shore up and protect and defend and strengthen our safety net. So understanding how both the state and federal budgets will be implemented, I think, is really critical for us. So I want to thank our staff and our lobbyists in advance for helping collect that information for us so we can make some good decisions over the next few months. And also just wanted to say for the record, because we have been focused on protecting our immigrant and refugee communities, the $170 billion in new funding for immigration enforcement and detention is something we've never seen before. And so I am very concerned about what that means in terms of even more fear in our communities. So this weekend was not a celebration for many, many of us because of how brutal this budget is. And I look forward to working with the administration, our lobbyists, and my colleagues around how we really prepare for the next year going forward. I don't think I have any specific questions outside of really wanting to understand the implementation timeline. So I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Thank you. And I also want to echo my appreciation for both of your offices keeping us abreast of every step of what's been happening and trying to prepare us for how best to deal with it. I only had two questions. One, how does the Rural Stabilization Fund, the $50 billion, how is that going to work in terms of the California rural communities? Obviously, it's not going to help urban communities, right, with the cuts in Medicaid.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute. You're right. It's very specific to rural. And I was actually having a conversation with social services staff last week about, like, are there any kind of rural, because, you know, it's done by the census tracts, but are there any specific rural areas in the county? I don't think, I mean, if there are, it's very few. So yes, it's very specific to rural, and we can pull out that language for you. Some would flow by formula, that would be determined kind of by the administration, the administrator. And then some would go, I think half, 50% would be divided among the states, and then 50% is done by formula. But we can send that out for you as well.
Okay, that would be helpful. You know, throughout the process, obviously, we saw in the news the level of persuasion that the White House had been a part of in trying to get to this July 4th budget. Do you expect that same sustained level of involvement in the rulemaking? Because that's where the implementation happens.
Yes. I mean, you're right. It's the executive branch that administers the rulemaking process. And so, I mean, again, there will be, you know, they'll have to follow the Administrative Procedures Act, right? So there is public comment. And so, you know, we, like others, will have an opportunity to comment. But yes, I mean, agree, they are on a fast track and will move as quickly as they can. John, I'm not sure if you have anything to add to that.
Sorry, I was having trouble with my mute button. No, I think that pretty much covers it. We'll see how this gets rolled out. The implementation of the Rural Relief Fund aligns with the work requirements or the 3.5 provider cap step down. And there's $10 billion that's allocated for 5 years. And then after that 5 years, it's expended. So that's, but we'll be happy to send a lot of additional information on how to get those information.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Are there any public comments on our federal legislative update?
I have no speakers for this item.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's move to the state legislative update and we'll figure out how this impacts the state, then eventually the county.
Thank you so much. Amy Costa, Full Moon Strategies with the State Legislative Advocacy Report. Last week, we talked a little bit about the finalization of the state's budget package. And this last Monday, the governor signed kind of the last tranche of trailer bills. And we'll include links to each of those bills for you in our PAL report. But officially, the budget is completed. On the heels of that, as was discussed, obviously, H.R. 1 was passed and signed into law. A sweeping federal budget package that delivers some major tax breaks, along with slashing funding for programs that support working families, public health, housing, and climate action. Almost immediately, California leaders pushed back. Governor Newsom tagged it the big, beautiful betrayal, warning it would take food from children, health care from cancer patients, and resources from communities that benefit, all for the ultra rich. State Health and Human Services Secretary Kim Johnson joined the governor during the press conference and described the bill as a direct attack on the health and stability of millions of Californians. As was noted, state policymakers will continue to analyze the impacts of the federal legislation on state finances. Just today, the California Natural Resources Agency announced a webinar, and we'll include a link in our report on the impact of climate programs, and we anticipate that more state agencies will do likewise, providing details by policy area about the potential impacts. Namely, policymakers in the immediate term will need to focus on the provisions that will impact the budget year, with several of the provisions, as was noted, taking effect in out years. Also this morning, the California Attorney General Rob Bonta announced he was joined by 17 state attorneys general and submitted an amicus brief in the Vasquez-Perdomo versus Noem case, urging the court to block unconstitutional and racially motivated immigrant enforcement actions by ICE and Border Patrol in Los Angeles. The brief supports plaintiffs seeking a temporary restraining order to halt raids that have instilled fear, disrupted public safety, and violated Fourth Amendment protections by targeting individuals without reasonable suspicion. We expect to see more on this in the coming weeks. Last week, the California Department of Healthcare Services released new data on the enhanced care management and community supports, key components of California's multi-year effort to transform Medi-Cal into a more coordinated, person-centered, and equitable system. We'll include a link to that report. This is a quarterly implementation report that provides updated insights into member participation, service utilization, and provider networks at the state, county, and plan level. We still have bills being heard this week. We've been asked to testify today on AB 1261 by Assemblymember Bonta. We will be one of two lead witnesses in the Senate Human Services Committee happening later today at 3 p.m. AB 1261 requires the state to provide legal counsel to each unaccompanied, undocumented minor in the physical custody of the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement and present in California or residing with a family member or other sponsor in California. The bill additionally requires the California Department of Social Services to contract with qualified nonprofit legal services organizations or the Office of a Public Defender to fulfill these requirements. The county began supporting this bill after the Board of Supervisors approved it at your April 29th, 2025 meeting. We also have our county-sponsored bill, SB 617, that will be heard later this week on Wednesday at 1:30. Alameda County staff will be present to testify before the committee. Our schedule is that July 18th is the last day for policy committees to meet and report on bills, and the first day of the legislature's summer recess, which lasts until August 18th. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that report. Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Thank you, Amy. I do have one question, which is related to the federal budget as well as our state, and that is, In the federal budget, it says that states that have an error rate, a payment error rate regarding SNAP of over 6% would be required to provide matching funds. Do you happen to know what the state's error rate is?
I don't. I saw that, and I'm happy to ask. And I think we can even ask, you know, by county if that information is helpful. In the email exchange this morning, you know, that provision, I believe, is set to take place in 2028. And, you know, happy to see what our error rate is. But obviously, there's a financial component for states that exceed the 6% error rate. So I'm happy to check with our state departments to see where we are in that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Along those lines, does the state have an estimate of the number of current recipients of Medi-Cal that might lose coverage or get some of that compromised? Similarly, on the food security, the SNAP program?
I do think we have some projections. I mean, we know because in the past there have been more aggressive redetermination plans in previous recessions.
Right.
So I can tell you in the context of the state budget, there was definitely some modeling done around how many people would fall off both through the premium as well as previous redeterminations. And we can get those projections to you, Supervisor.
Appreciate that. I thought the premium and the last go around went from $100 to $30, right, per person?
That's correct.
Okay. And so do they have estimates based on that new premium?
They do. They did. Okay. I would say that the state is scoring savings both on the fact that, candidly, some people will not be able to afford even a $30 premium. And so there will be some savings generated from that, as well as some of the revenue. And we definitely have data in previous incarnations when we've had redeterminations, people fall off, the more cumbersome it becomes. And I think a lot of people are anticipating that the work requirements will certainly have an impact. And I've seen some reports that there are certain subgroups in which that's really pronounced, including the unhoused.
Okay, thank you. Are there any public comments on our state legislative update?
I have no speakers on this item.
Do we have any public comments on items that are not on today's legislative update?
No speakers for public comment.
Thank you. Will those online please identify yourself, and so we can appreciate your participation.
Good afternoon. Valerie Yarkin from Supervisor Miley's office.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Hannah Hamilton with Alameda County Social Services Agency.
Good afternoon. This is Eileen Ng with Alameda County Health.
Hi, this is Elvi Quiroga with the Alameda County Treasurer Tax Collector's Office.
Joe Greaves, ACCMA.
Thank you. Thank you all for your participation. This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.